Good morning. This is Commissioner Richard Weaver of District 2. And with me today for today's show, we have Ms. Brenda Denny, Special Projects Coordinator with Carroll County. And welcome, Brenda.
Thank you. It's nice to be here today.
I want to welcome you to the show today. You know, our biggest focus is going to be community solar zoning, but how about a little bit about yourself first? You know, how long you've been with the county and what some of the major projects you've been working on?
Sure. I've been with the county for almost 28 years. I'm currently Special Projects Coordinator with the Department of Land and Resource Management for Carroll County. However, I was also worked with the Planning Department for many years and was Bureau Chief of Planning for probably almost 20 years. I was with that department. Now I work also in the Staff Liaison Secretary to the Environmental Advisory Council. I support the Water Resource Coordination Council for our department. I also monitor legislation, draft legislation at the county level, coordinate various projects between bureaus and agencies for the department, look at environmental policy, many things.
Well, I know that. And some of the publications you've put out have been great in the last several years. And I know you work with the committees, but everybody says you're the driving force behind a lot of these. So I just want to thank you for putting a lot of those out.
Thank you.
But today, we're going to focus more on the Community Solar Zoning Text Amendment. And this is proposed concepts at the present time. But let's start with, what is community solar?
A community solar is... it's a commercial solar operation, but the difference between a community solar operation and one that somebody might think of as a utility or large-scale solar is that it is a subscriber-based facility. So anybody who's in a service district for that utility can subscribe to the energy that's produced by a community solar facility anywhere else in that service district. So it would be two or more subscribers that the energy that you subscribe to is then credited back to your bill. So it allows people who can't put solar on their property for one reason or another or don't care to get the benefit of solar through subscribing to a facility elsewhere.
Okay. Now, a lot of this was designated to go on or be principal permitted use on portions of the ag district that were already remainder. What does that mean, a remainder at this point?
Well, currently, these facilities would only be allowed in the commercial industrial zoning districts in Carroll County. So the proposal is to allow them on remaining portions in the agricultural district. Remaining portions are properties in the agricultural district that have land remaining after residential subdivision lots have been created from a legally established parcel of land through the subdivision process.
And we have 600 and some of these, I believe, in the county, if I remember right. I think it was something like 625.
Yeah, there's probably between 600 and 700 remaining portions.
That are left over here, that these houses have been taken off or clustered in a site, and these remainders range from 5 acres maybe to 100 and some for a couple of the big ones, but very few of those left in there. So this is an area that we would focus on for community solar. Now, how large is community solar? What kind of volume of panels are we talking about?
Well, under the current state law, community solar facilities are capped at 2 megawatts. So industry standard, you know, if you include the facility and any associated infrastructure, probably 5 to 8 acres per megawatt. So we're looking at 15, 16 acres for a 2 megawatt facility.
Okay, so that would take a large portion of that remainder property. Depends on the property, too.
Right, depending
on
the size.
What they would be able to do. Now, you know, the only thing they're going to be able to do on this property is basically an agricultural entity at the present time. And, of course, there are some other zoning things they could do, a church and some other, I think it's about 40 different things. But what are you proposing if they put solar panels on this property?
So the current proposal is to allow the community solar facilities on remaining portions that are 5 acres or greater, and then the cap for the amount of space that they could use on one of those parcels would be 20 acres. After they develop for the solar facility, then the property owner would be required to donate an easement on the remaining portion of that land.
And that's for perpetuity, correct?
That's correct.
So this would be the same as preserved ground in the county then as part of the Ag Preservation Program.
Okay. That's right. It doesn't qualify for the Ag Pres Program, but we would develop some type of easement that would make it in perpetuity and would allow only the agricultural uses to be developed on that property in the future.
Okay. Now, I know you have some requirements on this, like no topsoil or productive ag land to be removed from the site for installation of it, and everything has to pretty much stay on the site. You know, I know there's some concerns out there as far as, how about a site plan? What do they have to go through to do this?
Well, just as any time when somebody changes the use on a property, like a use of this sort, they would have to submit a site plan for planning commission approval and, you know, meet all of the requirements for what needs to be on a site plan. You know, assuming that it's allowed under the zoning for property, the parcel size and everything else, then the planning commission would review it and approve it before it could be developed.
Same review. There's no clearing of forested areas. They have to stay out of the streams and floodplains and things like that, too, I believe.
Right, per our environmental codes, as would, you know, most uses.
Okay. Now, one question comes up. You know, sometimes when you put solar panels on, we get this influx of weeds and invasive plants, and it has to be maintained at this point. How does this control of all this fit into noxious weeds and things into this plan? Who's responsible?
We'll add something into the text amendment that would require the property owner to be responsible for controlling, eradicating noxious or invasive species. And, you know, then that would be between them and the solar developer if they want that to be in the lease agreement, that the solar developer would need to maintain that. But the property owner would originally be responsible.
Okay. Now, you know, all these properties are out there. They have to be close to a way to transmit this solar power into the grid. What are the restrictions on that?
That's correct. Under state law or state policy, some of both, there's a lot of different things that could affect where these facilities could be located. So they do need to be within a certain proximity to what they call three-phase distribution lines. And that's something that the solar developer would need to determine with the utility, you know, like such as BGE, whether or not they are close to one of those and whether there's capacity on that line to handle that additional energy being produced, because the lines also have to have the capacity because that's limited as well. The solar developer may also look at other site constraints, such as slopes and sun exposure. Other state policies that might impact whether or not they could develop there is that they're not allowed to develop community solar facilities on adjoining parcels. And that's a state policy, and they cannot develop on a parcel that has been subdivided within the past 5 years.
Oh, okay, so they can't create a remainder for this to happen on.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, at that point. That's good. Well, I have one question. If I'm joining property owner to somebody that has this, I don't want to look at solar panels too much. What requirements do we have that's going to buffer this facility for the adjoining landowners?
We're including a requirement for a landscape buffer, and the buffer would be not one that you might see in a commercial district where it's, you know, flowers and plants, but rather something more natural to the landscape. So there could be earthen berms and trees that you would find native, you know, native growing trees, that sort of thing, between the right-of-way for the road and any adjoining property owners.
Okay. Now, I guess the other thing, usually solar projects last for, say, 20 years. At the end of that 20-year period, what happens?
Well, at the end of the 20-year period, of course, we consider these temporary uses because they just have a pole in the ground and they can be removed and go on back into agriculture at any time. But technology has been advancing quickly. So at the end of 20 years, they could either remove the facility completely and put it back into agriculture or some other use that's allowed in the ag district. Or they could actually, if the property owner wants to do so, they could put in new facilities or renew the lease for a longer period of time. So either one of those things could happen.
Okay. That's answers a lot of the questions I think people have out here. Now, this is only proposed at this time. What do you think is our time frame on making some of this happen? And if we don't do something countywide, locally, I think the state can mandate some things to us. Is that correct?
Right. So currently, the Maryland Public Service Commission is the body with the state that has approval over solar facilities, all solar facilities that are commercial. So they have the authority to approve a solar facility anywhere. However, they are supposed to consult with the local jurisdiction. So assuming that we have enough opportunities for this type of development in the county, the Public Service Commission would continue to respect the county's zoning and decision on where we want these to go. I think where they are more likely to step in is where a county doesn't have opportunities for this type of development. So that's one of the, you know, driving forces. And then, of course, this is also a pilot program under state law, which ends in 2022. So solar developers are looking to get these facilities started before the pilot program ends. So our time frame is we are scheduled to go to the Planning Commission on January 16th to introduce these concepts. So under state law, the Planning Commission has to review any kind of zoning text or map change and make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. It's the Board of County Commissioners that have the actual authority to prove any of those changes, but they have to be given an opportunity to the Planning Commission to make a recommendation. So January 16th, we'll introduce it to the Planning Commission. And then February 3rd, we're scheduled to actually start working through the draft text amendment itself with the Planning Commission so that they can then make a recommendation to the board. We're anticipating that we'll take at least two meetings to get through because they do have other agenda items as well. So then it would continue on. See, January 19th is the Planning Commission first date. February 3rd, we'll discuss it in detail and then continue it February 16th in detail. And then we'll have to see whether it continues after that or not, how long they discuss it. But then it would go back to the board. We'll take the recommendation to the board and then ask the board if they want to proceed to public hearing.
Okay, so this is in its infancy at this point, and we're moving to look at it, which I think, you know, this is probably a good compromise between having 100-acre solar panels and or fields out here and what we can do to meet the state requirements. So I just want to say thank you for the work you've done on this and put it together in this proposed concepts. And if you have to make comments, please feel free to call me. I'd like to hear feedback from the general public. And I'm sure Brenda would love to hear from the general public, too. My phone number is 443-952-0030. If you have a concern or would like to comment on it, please feel free to call me.
And we also have a webpage set up that has every bit of information that we can make available there. So the proposed concepts, maps, dates for these meetings, everything's on that site if people want to look there. And my contact information is on that
website.
Okay,
so you're on the county webpage and just get on there and go to environmental.
Right. You go under zoning and it's...
Okay.
Or you can Google Carroll County Community Solar Zoning Text Amendment.
Okay. Wow. We're way out of time, but I want to thank Brenda Denny for being here with me today to explain the proposed solar concepts. And this is Commissioner Richard Weaver from District 2 wishing you a good week. Thank you.